Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, he's only gone and done it. The GOAT, the legend, the FPL Egyptian king. He's the record breaker, now officially broken his own record in FPL.
I was going to say, because he was already the record breaker.
He's broken his own records. That's just what he does. Unbelievably good season, and we're on game week 28. Yes. So we've got 10 weeks still to go.
Well, only 9 if Salah.
9 for Salah. Why only 9 for Salah?
We didn't play next week.
Okay. Yeah, so, all right. Well, 9 game weeks for Salah, and he is now the official highest scoring FPL player of all time. Beating his own record. Unbelievable.
Yeah. 303, previous record.
Yep.
How many...
Yeah, what can he do?
Where do we think this ends? Because in reality, you know, assume 10 per game.
Well, that's the kind of run, isn't it? That's where he's been doing.
So, you know, let's assume...
What, another 90 points? No way.
It'd be mad, wouldn't it?
Nah, it's mad.
It'd be like, there's beating your own record and there's like obliterating it.
It's just unbelievably good. We said on Sky, didn't we, on Saturday, we're running out of what to say about Mo. It's just so, so good. It's so, so good. And Liverpool now were 16 points top of the league, now 15, because Arsenal managed to grab a point at Old Trafford today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even I'm sitting there going, well, it's just done, isn't it?
I mean, I've been saying this since August, like, and I don't know why it's taken you so long.
Yeah, well, as a Liverpool fan, you just got to sit here and be sort of as humble as you can be about it. But at the same time, you can't ever say that it's done. And I'm still not going to say it's done while it's not mathematically done. But the chasing pack
for the first time this week, though, to fifth place than they are to you.
Yeah, but for the first time this week, I've sort of got a feeling that the chasing pack is sort of giving it up a little bit, like with Arteta's comments about how important the Champions League is for them. And of course it is, and they're 7-1 up, so they're through to the quarterfinals.
Yes.
And then you've got sort of City dropping points again at Forest, although I must say Forest played particularly well.
They're very good.
So the chasing pack is just not at it at all. So even if we wanted to slip up, what, three or four times out of 9, it's still, yeah, it's done, isn't it? It's looking very, very good indeed. But we now don't play a Premier League game until next month. You know that, right?
I know, yeah.
So we've got a massive break now, of course, with the Carabao Cup final in the middle. And because of that Carabao Cup final, we as FPL managers have got to navigate blank game week 29. Mm-hmm. So unless you've been living under a rock for a little while, you'll know that Liverpool, Newcastle, those that are contesting the Carabao Cup final, and the opponents in game week 29, which is Palace and Villa, all going to blank in 29. So we've got to think about how we're going to navigate that. Mm. Right now, and get in the chat, guys. I want to know what you guys think. Are you thinking free hit in 29 or no?
No.
Currently no. And I must admit,
no,
I'm...
definitely not.
Definitely no.
No chance.
Okay. I'm almost certainly no as well. Because I've got a bit of a plan. And my team doesn't look too bad. And I've got 2 free transfers in hand.
You have got a lot of players to play against each other, though.
I have. And that is one of the reasons I'm still not completely ruling it out. Because I've got a lot of Chelsea and Arsenal, and they play each other. I kind of feel like that's like hedging my bets, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of those has got to do well, he says. I don't know.
I'm just going to adjust the camera. We sat down here before, and we checked the camera was right.
I think it's you that needs to adjust, not the camera. I think the camera's fine.
I always sit here, and this is where I was. I think when I was... You know when I said to you, I was just going to put some lippy on? I think I nudged the camera.
Did you?
Because... It's not right. Oh, my God.
Change it.
There we go.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
You can now see, like, the white
of
the door.
Yeah, I know this, Lee, but...
Don't like that.
The chair, I think, has moved because it's closer to the door. I don't quite know what goes on in here, but I think the chair has moved. It needs to be that way. But we can't move that now.
Okay.
So we just have to accept a little bit of white wall because I'm already uncomfortable. I don't want to have to sit without a back.
Okay. No problem, Sam.
I just moved the camera a little bit.
I, for one, am willing to just move on from the conversation, and the podcasters in particular are like, can you shut up and get on with it?
Yeah, I know.
So are you comfortable now?
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Good. All right, excellent. I'm going to get on with the super chat from Malachi Fox. Thank you, Malachi, for the super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hello, mate. Hope you're both well. We're doing all right, mate.
We're
60
okay.
points this game. We're very good with Darwin as captain.
Sorry, what?
Sorry, what, Malachi?
Who
sorry, what? Has he got to
the
a point?
The fact that you've got Darwin is one thing that you've Malachi, captained him is another.
Are you at the point of the season where you're just like, ah, screw this, I'm going to have some fun? Darwin captain, bloody hell. Going Wood as captain for game week 29 since I'm not buying Haaland with free hit. Listen, we will talk about what our team looks like for game week 29. And in that context, we will discuss a little bit of what a free hit might look like. Because I've pulled up a little bit of a...
Have you?
Well, I've, in the context of my team, I'll show you...
Obviously, because you're thinking you might still, potentially.
Maybe, but I'm pretty unlikely. But what I have got is my game week 28 score. I've then got my game week 29 team on a slide as well, with all the gaps and all the blanks and it not looking too great.
Okay.
But then I pulled up a bit of a sort of shortlist of players that I'm going to take. Definitely, there's definitely two that I've got to go. Definitely two that have got to go. I think you can guess which two.
Lewis Hall.
Hall and Gakpo. Definitely got to go.
Oh, yeah, Gakpo.
And then I've got a bit of a shortlist of players that I want to bring in.
Okay.
Could I do a hit to do another one? Maybe. But we'll discuss that when we get there, Malachi. So really nice point. We will absolutely do that. And Haaland, spoiler alert, is on my shortlist, but...
Is he?
I don't think I'm going to do it, Malachi. I don't, based on what I saw today, and I know Forest played very well, but I didn't like the look of City at all. Didn't like the look of them. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. George is in, as usual. Hello, George. Nice to see you. Nice to see you.
George, I gave you a little... I don't know if you were listening to Sky Sports News on Saturday morning, but I...
Did you say you were going to have a dance?
I did. I referenced the Slack community without being able to say, oh, for our Slack patrons, and I just
can't say that
because I can't say that, so I just talked about dancing with Mbomo. Nobody's mentioned it, which suggests that none of them heard it.
Went massively
even though I did try and give you all a little shout out, but there you are,
massively under the radar. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. He says, Lee, great call bringing in Kukurea. Thanks, mate.
Oh my god, please.
I have to say, that is
Scott, you'll get banned for mentioning
it's
that
man. It's the probably one of the jammier picks I've had. I've had him for the last 2 weeks. I've had him for his...
Like, 30 points!
30 pointer. Like, unbelievable. And I bought him in last week, really, because I was like, right, I really want Bowen. I was like, I really want Bowen in my midfield for the next 2 weeks. And he got an assist last week. Who knows what he'll do this week? We'll see tomorrow, won't we?
We will.
But I really wanted Bowen. I thought, "What? Where's my mate weight? How do I get some money
so
to do...
So who did you sell for Kukurea?
Oh, God. Trent. I sold Trent. Which last week didn't work out, but this week worked out.
Well, no, it did work
all right.
Out still all right last week. Yeah, Kukurea got 15.
Yeah, overall, it's been great. It's been great. But it was one of those moves where he was the... I didn't put that much thought into it. The thought was going into Bowen, not really into Kukurea.
But you really did it because Southampton Leicester, right?
Yeah. And I was looking at the fixtures. I said, well, I fancy them for two clean sheets. And if he gets an assist, then great. Upside. I did not expect him to get two goals and two clean sheets.
And three and six bonus points, actually.
Ridiculous.
Why didn't you captain him?
Properly, you know, I wouldn't say it's season changing, but that is going to make a difference come into the end of the season. That's 30
Massively.
Points. Absolutely huge. Joseph Maloney, thank you, mate, for the super chat. Hi, Sam and Lee. Hello, mate. Salah
Hello.
On a different level, mate. He is. He's just unbelievable. Even Darwin getting on the act. Not the best game week. Bowen needs to get something tomorrow. Well, you and I are both hoping that Bowen gets something tomorrow, aren't we? No doubt about it.
But I feel like every Monday night I hope that Bowen gets something. Or actually, it wasn't a Monday, was it, last time? But Bowen seems to always be bringing up the rear of the game week. Like last
feels
time
it,
round,
yeah.
In the midweek fixtures, it was Bowen on Thursday night, and I was there like all hopes on Bowen.
The hope
and
was
now
there.
We're here again.
Yeah.
Monday night's hopes with Bowen.
He's a reasonable differential around me. His effective ownership's about 20%.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So I do want him to get something tomorrow, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And we will talk, Joseph, about Darwin a bit later on. I mean, the way that Slot is just managing this squad so that players like him and Elliot and Curtis Jones come in and still do the business. Unbelievable. And I will have a... Hold the phone, everyone. But I do have a little bit of praise for Darwin Nunes later on in this video.
Oh, God, I've gone lightheaded.
That doesn't often happen.
Lee,
it doesn't often happen.
Saying nice things about Darwin Nunes, I
don't
ever remember that happening before.
Well,
I'm looking forward to it.
I've got it. And speaking of things that never happened before, I cheered the Kukurea Chelsea goal in last game week, and this one. I'm worried about myself because I'm cheering Chelsea goals. It never happens.
Can I just tell you something about this goal? But and we'll talk about it a bit more later. But not only does he... So Spurs are obviously playing at the time that the Kukurea goal goes in.
Yeah, we didn't watch Chelsea, did we? Because
Spurs were on the TV. So Lee turns to me and goes, I think Kukurea scored again. And I was like, oh, shut up. I'm already in a bad mood because Spurs are 2-0 down at this point.
But I saw it in the Slack. The guys, you guys on Patreon were just like... Leave. Done it again. Kukureya with like a blue heart.
So honestly, so I get my phone. I take my eyes off the Spurs game for all of what, 30 seconds to look at, to check if he's winding me up or not. While I'm checking it, Pape Sarr scores a worldy goal.
You missed it
completely. And I missed it because of flipping Kukureya. I was so cross. In multiple ways, I was so cross.
So you're loving Kukureya. Even though it's not hurting you and it's only like a 4-5% differential, you hate it because I've got the 30 points. That's what it is.
It just pissed me off because it's not like something that you've like planned for. No. It's just a jammy, annoying thing.
Yeah. You can't be happy for me.
I'm not happy for you, no.
No, great. It's not hurting you. It's just benefiting me.
It is hurting me.
He's 4% owned. Yes. 4 or 5%.
Do I care? No. Do I want to finish above you? Yes. Is Mark Kukureya pissed me off because he keeps scoring goals? Yes.
Am I in your head again? Oh, it was about this time last season, wasn't it?
I hate you.
Here we go.
I was ahead of you. Till Mark flipping Kukureya. Of all the people, Mark flipping Kukureya. He owes me an apology.
All right.
And some chocolate.
Calm down, please.
If anyone knows him, tell him he's got some.
Calm down, please, on the sideshow, Bobby. He is now one of my favourite players.
Shut up.
Wilco in with the super chat. Thank you, mate. He says,
might only be here tonight.
What? Why?
Well, we'll come in. Liverpool guaranteed pretty much now. Win the league. Wilco will turn up.
Well, he does in his super chat. He says, champions.
There you go. See?
And he says, how do you feel about a guard of honour when Spurs come to play, potentially? Spurs giving Liverpool the champions guard of honour? Don't mind it, Wilco.
Want to get divorced today?
Wilco said it, not me.
Yeah, but you know what he's like. He deliberately winds the pot. He's a stirrer.
He winds comes the in, pot.
It's like this. Stir the pot. Winds me up.
He winds the
off
pot.
Off he goes.
The bloody raccoon's back. Right, let's see. Duncan Crawford, thank you,
oh,
mate.
Here's another one. What's he got to say for
guys,
himself?
Guys, all the patrons, can you, like, you already support us on Patreon. You don't need to super chat. Particularly Duncan, just to say, Kukureya back-to-back 15 points.
Oh, my God, Duncan, we're supposed to be friends. Go, God.
So good. So good.
You wait, George will be in a minute just to wind me up.
Our next super chat is from George.
Oh, here we go.
George, hello, mate. Evening, Bonfield. Tell him, mate. Unfortunately, we had a blank dance with Mbeumo. Mate, you promised us.
You
promised
your
us, mate.
Your fault, George.
George, you promised us a very good dance with Mbeumo. The fact that you got on in this week, I was just like, there's too many people on the dance floor now. Thoughts
it was
of
like
bringing,
a conga.
Thoughts of bringing choo, choo, in. Choo. It just went nowhere.
But it went nowhere.
A couple of
it got tangled up on itself.
A couple of attempted bicycle kicks only like for Twister. Brian this week. Thoughts of bringing in Bruno and Evan Nilsson for 29, selling Palmer and Visser. Mate, I do not mind the Evan Nilsson pick. We're going to talk a bit later on about my shortlist for 29. He's on it. Bruno Fernandes isn't, but maybe he might make it onto the shortlist. I don't know, but Evan Nilsson for sure, because Bournemouth, I thought, were excellent, despite dropping a couple of points at Spurs today. Sorry, Spurs gaining a point. Not that Bournemouth dropped a couple. I suppose you could say that. They were 2-0 up. They should have got the win. They should have got the win.
They definitely dropped 2 points.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I just sort your collar out?
Can you? Yeah, you can. Thank you. Yeah. There we go. Thank you.
It was just
more good podcast content.
Sorry, podcasters, but Lee's collar was caught up at the back. It was annoying me.
Aaron Curl, thank you, Aaron, for the super chat. Aaron says, hi, guys. Hope all is well. It's all right, mate. Thank you. 70 points. Very good, Aaron, so far with Isak and Bowen to play.
Nice.
Mate, fair play.
Well, let's hope we get Isak.
Took a risk selling Palmer for Sarr. Oh, yes.
You bought in Pap Sarr?
No, Ismaila Sarr. Oh. Christ almighty. Who's bringing in Pap Sarr?
I don't know, kid.
God, you're so Spurs biased.
In my
Jesus.
Head, the only Sarr that exists is Pap.
Aaron,
I forgot that Ismaila was it even a thing.
Who is bringing it? Pap Sarr.
Somebody will have. I guarantee somebody will. I forgot Ismaila Sarr existed. He was also very good.
There's only
the
one Sarr, and it's Pap Sarr. Aaron, yeah, only if one you actually bring in Pap Sarr, Aaron, and I will have.
Well, yeah.
Place,
who said? Has he specifically said Ismaila?
I guarantee you, it's Ismaila Sarr. Glad it paid off. Glad it paid off for you, mate. That is a top move.
And paid off.
Ballsy as well, by the way, because Palmer could have been a different story, obviously, if he scores a penalty, etc., etc. Thoughts and prayers with Az, who captained Palmer this week. Yes, thoughts and prayers. Nigel the Crab, another regular, is in. Nice to see you again, Simon. Absolute howler this week with transfers. Turned a -4 into a -15. Learned a lot this season. Mate, I feel...
Hang on, how do you take a -15?
I don't know.
4, 8, 12, 16. It's either 16 or 12, Si.
Not entirely sure.
Just press the wrong button. I reckon we go for a 16.
He's off to Singapore in April to visit my fiance. Wish me luck in the 30 plus weather, mate. It will be gorgeous out there and you'll have a wonderful time. But tell us how you get to -15. I can't work that out. Surely it's multiples of 4. Who knows?
He's probably 16. He's probably pressed the wrong button.
And when he says learned a lot this season, Simon, you've been following us for a few seasons. I feel like you get to this point of the season and you always say, I've learned a lot, and then you do the same things the following season. I don't know.
No, but
are you actually learning, Simon?
Sai actually has been calmer with his transfers this season. But now I feel a bit like he's going rogue again now. He's got to the fun bit now. He's like, I can't win it. Minus 12, minus 15, somehow.
Aaron says, it's of course Ismaïla Sarr, not Papa Sarr.
Damn it.
Brilliant.
I mean, perhaps I, to be fair, would also have been a quality buy this week.
It would have, absolutely. So, you know, because just saying, all the content creators were saying, bring in Pape Sarr this week. And nobody did it, Sam. It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous that no one followed that advice.
Can't believe no one thought of that. Anyway, so a whole host of you in. So thank you all for the super chats, guys. Very, very kind of you. B is in
as well, Sam.
Bournemouth seemed like the real deal today. They certainly did, B. And we'll talk about that game in a bit. But before we talk about results and stuff, I would like to give my voice a rest because I'm still a little bit croaky from a recent work shift, so a little bit of a cough. I'm going to let you talk about, because B is in the chat, your amazing experience at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium not so long ago. Go on, go for it, because I've got the video all lined up here. Look, the video's going on in the background, and you guys can watch that on mute while you talk about your experience at the Lane.
Look, there's my lovely little mum.
There she is.
Getting some... Look, there we are, singing. So B is a bit of a legend. For those of you that don't know who B is, she's in the chat at the moment. B set up, or is one of the founding members of, the Women of the Lane supporters group. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it is the women and non-binary folk supporters group of Spurs. It's the official supporters group.
At Women of the Lane, if you're interested.
At Women of the Lane. Yeah. And it was set up on International Women's Day last year. It's obviously been a year now since it's been established. It is honestly a wonderful organisation. The ladies and the people that run it are just brilliant people who obviously give up their time to do something really exciting and to make going to football a pleasurable experience for everybody, and to make sure that, you know, if you're in a football stadium, just my reaction to that. That was Pap Sarr at the end of the game.
Was it?
Yeah.
Again, podcaster, sorry you can't see this video, but you've got to go and check it out. It's on the Spurs. It's on the actual Spurs Instagram, right? They
it
did
is.
An actual reel.
They
collabed with you.
Yeah,
and you went insane when
that
happened.
So just a little story about that. So thanks to B, because B contacted me and said, would you like to do this? I was like, yes, please. I was going to the Man City game. They came and followed us around with a camera. It was quite fun. They let us go on the pitch, as you can see from that little bit of the video. One of the things that didn't actually make the video is that I said to them, they were asking me about my favourite memories at Spurs. And one of the ones I mentioned was when Alan Nilsson scored the winning goal in the League Cup final and how my dad had put a bet on for me in that game. And they were like, come with us, and we go down.
Chris is in the chat, by the way, saying, who is the man Sam is chatting to? That is Spurs legend Alan Nilsson.
Oh, yeah. So there's two. Yeah. So there, Alan Nilsson, I went down and I met him and I started talking to him. What an amazing man. He honestly was so lovely, and he had a lovely chat with me. Shout out to the random FPL fan as well that was in the crowd and just started shouting at me while I was on the pitch, and we had a nice chat about FPL. Yeah, that was quite fun as well. Like, so yeah, there's a man in the stands. If you watch the video, you see me chatting away to him. He called me over and started talking about FPL and thanked me for his transfers. So yeah, it was honestly a wonderful experience, and that's massively down to B, because if it wasn't for her, this wouldn't have happened. So thank you very much, B, for making that happen. But on the way, we were on the way into Sky, weren't we, on Saturday morning, and I was busy recording a reel ready to go, and I haven't put it out yet, but as we're recording this reel, there's B, as we're recording the reel, I go on Instagram and discover that Spurs have tagged me in a post, and I lost my mind.
You lost your little mind. It was incredible.
My tiny mind exploded as we were walking into Sky, and I forgot all about the reel. So when you watch the reel on tomorrow when I post it, there'll be a massive chunk of stuff that's just missing because I forgot to record any of it.
So there we go. At Women of the Lane, if you'd like to check that out. The link to the video that you can see on screen is in the description below if you want to go and check it out on the actual Spurs Instagram. That FPL Family got collabed on. And of course, we're on Instagram as well if you want to check us out on there, at FPL Family. So yeah, a very good day was had by you and your mum there. So thank you to B. Thank you to everybody that made that happen, because that was a proper hashtag life goals for you, wasn't it? Proper hashtag.
Massively,
so good. Right, folks, let's get on with some of the games. And because, Sam, we've got obviously our teams to talk about, we've got Blank Game Week 29 and my team and what I'm going to do with it to talk about, let's go through these games double quick. I know I say it every
week. Oh, you don't need to tell me. You're the one that starts talking and then doesn't stop.
I know I say it, and I know it's always me that prattles on, but just say to me, Lee, you're prattling on. Right, let's get on with some of these games.
Lee, you're prattling on.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah, I like that. Very good.
Love you, dear.
Yeah, same. Right, let's find my little window. Where's my window? There it is. Right, window. Let's discuss. Let's get to it.
Can we just hurry up and get to it, then pick a game?
Spurs 2. Bournemouth 2. Go on. We've already said enough Spurs on this podcast, but we are going to do more. Spurs 2, Bournemouth 2. A point gained for Bournemouth or two lost?
Two lost. Mm. You don't be 2-0 up and could have been 3 had Semenyo actually paid any attention to where the line was, because obviously they were had a goal ruled out for offside as well in this one.
Cliver, it's the post. How Cliver owners haven't got a 20-pointer here? I mean, God, dear me, his movement was giving him all sorts of problems.
It was massively. And what was really frustrating is that actually we started appalling. Like, the worst I've ever seen us start a football match. We were all over the place. Romero, God knows where he's been.
Oh, within like 30 seconds.
He looked like he'd not played for 2 months. Like, he looked well off of it. But then we were starting to come a bit better, and then Bournemouth scored, and then we were back to being all over the place again. I thought towards the back end of the game we did look better. I don't know what Kepa is doing. Like, Kepa decides to just give us a point.
It's a bad one, that pen. He's got time to think about it as he's rushing out as well. And he still does it. And Son's just like, okay.
All right then.
I'll just take the pen, thanks.
I mean, and then we had a couple of other opportunities. There was another one from Son that went just past the posts. I mean, to be fair, Son doesn't start the game, but could have absolutely hauled when he came on, because there's a deflected one that just about goes wide, and I couldn't believe that had happened. Mm.
And everyone's favourite new FPL asset then, Pape Sarr.
Yeah.
Is that a cross? Is he meaning that?
Well, yeah, he means it.
Please.
Oh, shut up.
Please.
Of course he means
it. Is he meaning
it's a goal.
That?
Of course he
means he's trying to cross out to Solanke,
off the
though.
Line. No, Kepa's off the line. What's the matter with you? If Salah does that, you'll
on.
Go, oh, definitely means it.
Well, that's because it would be Salah, and he absolutely would.
What would
mean
you
it.
Say if Darwin did it?
It's scuffed it. Absolutely scuffs it in. The same as Sarr.
No, it's not. He sees him off the line and goes for it. I'm not
saying
having
cross
anything.
All day long.
Shut up.
Here we go. No. Look, who else? Come on, guys.
Nutters.
In the chat. Did he mean that, Pape Sarr? Cross.
He
just say
means
cross
it.
Or goal.
He clearly means it. He sees Kepa off the line. He thinks that goalkeeper's a waste of space. That's why Chelsea got rid. And then, yeah, no, he means it. What does this mean for us in FPL? Well, if you went for Postecoglou as your assistant manager, you've done all right because you got table bonus for the draw, so you'll have got a decent return there, a couple of goals. 3 and 5, so what's that, 8, 9, 10? So that wouldn't be too bad.
Wayne LaBelle, cross. Christopher Warburton, cross. Aaron Curl, cross.
Well, you all don't know what
cross.
You're talking about. You're all wrong.
Dan the man, didn't even see it, but I know it's a cross.
You're all wrong. I think if you go and listen to what Pap's got to say, the world's most honest man, he'll tell you the truth. He was aiming for
this croaking. Goodness me. Go on then. So what does it mean for us in FPL? Because Bournemouth are definitely going to be, if we have a look at the fixtures, one of the teams that those of us that are wildcarding in the not too distant future, and I, for one, I'm thinking about wildcarding in game week 31 now. I know we've sat here on previous Sundays and I've been thinking about game week 30 as my wildcard and then maybe assistant manager, 31, 32, 33. Not going to do that now. I'm going to wait for the information, get through 29 and 30, and then play the wild card in 31. And one of the teams that I want to focus on is Bournemouth, because I've got Brentford at home and then Ipswich at home. Two pretty nice looking home games in 29 and 30. Mm-hmm. And then in 31...
Excuse you're me, right, dear.
No, I'm really croaky today. And then in 31, I can decide on my wild card whether I want them or not. But for those two home games, look great, right? Look great. So Cliver in midfield, you've got Evan Nilsson coming back, you've got Kirkes, who was unbelievable today, by the way.
Yeah, yeah,
including
great.
The cross for Tavernier's goal. Mm-hmm. The one that I would be a little bit less sure about now, and if you've got him in your team, there is a question mark now over Dango Ouattara, I think, because with Evan Nilsson coming back, he obviously was benched. I think with Tavernier playing so well on that side as well, I struggle to see how Dango gets in this team now. Doesn't mean he's going to get no minutes. I think he'll come on, particularly with Evan Nilsson kind of being managed back, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can go and buy him now, right? I think if you're going to go to Bournemouth, it's probably an Evan Nilsson, it's probably a Clivert, or maybe a Semenyo, maybe still. I don't know. What do you think?
Semenyo's in the conversation, I think. And, you know, my personal preference is for Clivert. It has been the whole way through. I think Clivert is by far the best of the Bournemouth mids. Plus, he has penalties and that extra route to points is really important. Do you know, it's interesting though, isn't it? Because when I, like Bournemouth, I don't know, because I really, really like Kirkes. I actually thought that Dean Huijsen, or however you say his name, was brilliant today. And I think he
just didn't get the FPL points, did he? But he played very, very well.
He did play really well. And there were a couple of opportunities, again, from set pieces. And we all know what Spurs are like from set pieces, although we did defend them, where he was the one that was aimed at and could and maybe should have got an attacking return as well. And obviously, for a large chunk of the game, was it not for a Kepa clanger, looked like he was going to get the clean sheet today. And so
Interesting, actually, just to back that up, is that if you look at the clearances, blocks and interceptions metric, the CBI metric, which is on the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Again, I'll give a quick plug. Every single Sunday we're in here using the Fantasy Football Scout members area on my iPad. It is an essential resource for any serious FPL manager and me. Huijsen in there with 20 on the CBI index. For context, the next best is Manning from Southampton and Wolfenden from Ipswich, both with 15. So Huijsen, yeah, absolutely had a really, really good game today, but just didn't do the stuff that he needs to get the FPL points. And from that perspective, that's why, if money was no object and I was just choosing, I would still go for Kirkes if I was bringing in a net new Bournemouth defender now.
Yes, but there's a massive difference in the price between the two of them.
Like, so I said, if money was no option, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, I mean, he was on for bonus points for a large chunk of the game until the clean sheet went, and then obviously he didn't get any. But I think if you can't afford to get Kirkes, which a lot of people won't be able to because they'll be priced out of it, unless you're, you know, going to sell the likes of Trent, which you might be wanting to do, then you need to consider, I think, looking at the Bournemouth defence, even with Brentford, who generally speaking score goals, although, you know, we'll talk about them later, I still think that they're worth the investment, particularly Kirkes. I mean, it's a worldie of an assist for the first
very
goal.
Very good.
It's just,
yeah, very nice.
It's an incredible cross at the time when Spurs are actually in a little bit of ascendancy, and he just puts in, it's the perfect ball. And could, and again, should have had more returns, I felt, in this game than he actually did for how well he played. So he's definitely one I'm looking at. I think for me, I've got the only midfielder that I have that's not starting next week is Salah. And clearly, I'm not going to sell Salah. That would be madness. So,
would it?
Yes, Lee, it would be madness.
Okay. Interesting.
Where are you going to find the extra money to inevitably buy Salah back?
I don't know, but we're getting to a point of the season where I think that additional money is, and team value is less important.
What about for your assistant manager?
I'm not saying sell Salah, but I'm just saying, you're saying it's madness, why would I do it? That will be a strategy for a few people, and then bring him back in 31.
In my mind, that's absolute madness.
All right.
He's gone up to 13.8 now. You stand to lose so much money, unless you bought him last week, and then what have you been doing anyway? So unless you've got nothing invested, then, you know, fine, go for it. But for me, it would be absolute madness to try and then find the budget to bring back Salah. And because I've got four other playing midfielders next week, getting to the likes of Cliver or Semenyo is difficult. I could sell Isak and go for an Evan Nilsson. But Kirkes much more comfortably fits what I need in my team.
You've already got Huijsen, though. Would you double
up
on Bournemouth?
No, I don't have any Bournemouth.
Oh, I thought you had Huijsen.
No.
Sold him.
I have never owned him.
You've owned Huijsen recently, no?
Have I?
I thought you had.
I don't think so.
I swear you had Huijsen. No, absolutely convinced
so.
You had Huijsen.
What?
Maybe I've dreamt that up, but I'm sure...
Oh, I do!
Oh my God, are you joking?
When did I bring him in?
Do you have this? Do you do this for a living? Is this your actual job?
When did I get him?
I have no idea, like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Did I?
Are you mad? Are you actually mad?
Hang on.
This is your job, Sam.
Hang on.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. When did I bring him in? Oh, yeah, I played him last week. Oh, I played him the week before.
Do you guys see what I'm working with here?
3 weeks ago. I brought him in for game week 25.
We had this whole thing about how you pronounce his name. Huijsen, Huijsen, whatever.
I forgot about him.
No shit. Right, okay.
Yeah, all right, I do have him.
So the question I was going to ask you was, like, would you get Kirkes and double up on the Bournemouth defence? Because you've already got Huijsen. I don't know if you realise.
Ask me again.
Should we just clip that bit out?
Just forget that happened, yeah.
Right, we'll just clip that bit
this
out.
This happened to me the other week as well. on the official pub where
you do surprise
me. Kelly said something to me and I went, no. And she went, Sam, I swear you used to have that. And it was whoever it was. And I was like, did I? And I went back and I was like, oh, I did. I've clearly just forgot he existed.
Kingdom FC saying the best part of this is it isn't even scripted. You actually legit forgot.
But I think it's because in my defence, I have none.
In your defence?
It's probably because I benched him this week. And in my head, I just forgot he therefore existed.
So let's just rewind a minute and just go, because you've got Housen, Sam.
Right, yeah.
Would you double up?
I've got Housen, yeah.
Would you have Kirk as well? Double up?
Not against Brentford.
Okay,
but
fine.
But maybe for Ipswich.
Okay. All right, good. Let's move on because there'll be more evidence.
I know what's going
talk.
On in my team.
I'm glad I know what's
Can
going on.
Can you tell
on
I'm not
team.
Feeling 100% this afternoon?
Sure. Spurs, are we thinking about them? I mean, they have got a fixture.
I mean, I'm always thinking about them. Yeah. How much stress they cause me.
Yeah, you were a bit stressed on that today. I mean, the Spurs fixtures, it is Fulham and Chelsea away before. I guess we're going to look at them in Wildcard 31 with Southampton coming up. But Fulham and then Chelsea away, that does not strike me as two games where I would be gagging to get on Spurs, although players are starting to come back. Cuti Romero back today, and what's his face? Van de Ven back as well.
Right, stop.
Sorry.
You can't call him what's his face.
The other lad at the back. The players are starting to come back.
Call him by his proper name.
Van de Ven.
Thank you.
What are we saying? Spurs for the next couple of weeks, yes or no?
Defensively, still no. I still think defensively, like Fulham and Chelsea, they're going to score goals, surely. So it's a no from me for the defenders, because in reality, the most important game of our season is about to happen on Thursday night. Then obviously we're going to go off on international break. And then after that, it's going to be just hopefully we'll be still in the Europa League and it will be the majority of the focus will be there. And defensively, we will still have issues. Like, we just aren't defensively that solid. Was it not for Vicario today, God knows how many we would have conceded. He was excellent again. But going forward, we do score goals. The issue I have is that we've almost now got... We've gone from one extreme to the other. Like, today, Son's bench for the second game in a row. All right, he comes off the bench and he does get returns today. But... I don't think you're going there. He's too expensive.
Absolutely not.
Solanke's available again. And I thought put in a shift today, but no attacking returns. And over the previous weeks of the season, it hadn't been Solanke that you'd want to invest in from a Spurs perspective. He'd done all the donkey work to enable everybody else. Bren came off at half time today. So again, that's a bit of a problem. Kulusevski, who I bought in last week for the midweek round, then is injured and is now out. So I think...
In short, no.
The short answer is probably not. But
I'll give
you
a short answer.
But I do think we'll score goals against both Fulham and Chelsea. It's just I couldn't tell you who will get them. Maybe it's Papsar and maybe that's where we should go.
Not for me. Absolutely not touching Spurs with a barge pole. Right, let's talk about Palace 1, Ipswich 0. Let's talk about them.
I feel so frustrated by this game, Lee.
Well, I don't want to go too much into this because, of course, Palace... You're not going to be bringing them in because of the blank and Ipswich, you're not going to be looking at them. But let's do it quickly. What stood out for you in this game, if anything?
It's just a frustrating one because obviously I had Mateta, who then I had to sell. I didn't want to sell, but because I think had Mateta played in this game, he'd get something. And I knew I wanted Munoz and I couldn't get Munoz because he blanked next week. And so the clean sheet is just it's just infuriating. But as soon as game week 29 is done... I'll be investing in Palace.
Yeah, I think so. Nketiah not really leading the line as we would hope. I mean, the whole system is built around having a big guy like Mateta up front. We're not really an Nketiah. I don't know. I think that if in the future they can find a system that gets them playing together in a sort of big man, little man kind of way, then great. But I think they've tried that early in the season. I don't think it's worked.
Defoe and Genius style.
Defoe and Genius?
No.
Crouch, maybe?
Yeah.
You all right tonight?
No. No, I'm really not.
Would you have Housen in your FPL team?
Yeah, who's not got him?
Good pick, you know.
Great pick.
Good pick. Let's move on from that one. I don't think there's too much to discuss. Man U 1, Arsenal 1.
I'll ask you a question.
Go on.
Was this the most boring game of the season?
Well, as someone that does FPL as a bit of a hobby and comes on here and does a live stream every Sunday night, I shouldn't say things like, I walked away from this match because it was so frigging boring. But I walked away from this match because it was so frigging boring. The minute I walked away was minute 56. Do you know why?
Well, because you said, I wouldn't be surprised if Bruno puts this in.
Well, that's not when that happened. Minute 56 is when Wanieri went off. And I had Wanieri and I had Gabriel and I had Raya. United showed absolutely nothing in that first half. Not that Arsenal were dynamic, but the first half was the most turgid first half of football ever. Bruno then gets a free kick only because Trossard is doing a Liverpool and sleepwalking into a bad pass and then goes back and tries to recuperate and gets a foul. Bruno's standing over that free kick and I'm like, he'd probably score this.
Yeah,
because Raya gave him half a goal to score at. And okay, he's got to get it up and down the up and over the wall, which he does. By the way, he doesn't take the free kick from he doesn't take the kick from where the foul was given. He moves it. All right, it's further away from the goal, so he's allowed to do it, but he still moves it to where he wants to put it. And I'm like, this is just, it's like a penalty for Bruno. This it's like a penalty, and he just does what Bruno does, up and down. Great, great. And there goes my clean sheet, double clean sheet. And then when Wanieri went off, I was like, I can't be arsed with this. This is a boring game. And then obviously Rice gets the equaliser. From what I understand, Raya played pretty well, so possibly a bit unlucky to just get the three. Had some pretty good saves in the second half.
But
I'm like, the first half was that bad. It was so, so bad. What do you make of, and this is a bit of a kind of question for the rest of the season, what do you make of Arteta's comments after the 7-1? What do you make of some of the stuff he's been saying, like about how important the Champions League is as a competition? Do you think that they mentally they're sort of giving up in the league?
No, I don't, because I don't think they can, because they are, and I appreciate that they're not going to go out in this round of the Champions League unless something ridiculous happens in the second round, which it won't do. But in the next stage of the competition, if they were to be eliminated, they cannot afford to have given up on the league entirely, because as I said at the beginning of this, they're closer to fifth spot than they are to you now.
Mm.
And so they aren't guaranteed by any stretch of the imagination to finish in the top four. And until they are mathematically guaranteed that Champions League spot for next year, they cannot give up on the league position. They just can't. Now, I think it's fairly certain that they're going to get Champions League through the league next season. I would be astonished if they have that bad an end to the season that they don't finish in the top four. But having said all of that, I still think there has to be a level of... Plus, they don't have a huge squad to rotate around at the moment because everyone's injured.
Moreno up front again, it's just not working, is it?
But Lee, what else would you do? Like, what would you have him do? The only other option he's got maybe is to put Calafuri up there. Well, that's just another defender playing an attack. It's not exactly a good solution.
Yeah.
I think the best way to answer your original question is to say that when I wildcard, I will not have double Arsenal defence anymore.
Almost certainly not for me either. Almost certainly not.
I mean, I got lucky today because Timber gets the assist for Rice.
Did he?
So at least I got something out of my double Arsenal clean defence. But it's disappointing.
And then United, from that perspective, their fixtures going into the next couple of weeks read like this. Where are they? There they are. Leicester and then Forest away. So a mixed bag, to say the least. Leicester, you'd back them, I think, although Van Nistelrooy might have something to say about that. And then Forest away, I'd be backing Forest, obviously, because Forest are very good at home. But then going forward after that, the fixtures look just... I don't think they're going to be on the radar, are they?
The problem I have with Manchester United is that... And we said this... I don't know if we said it on a podcast, maybe Ohana, or whether we just said it to each other, that Manchester United turn up for these games. They turned up against Manchester City. They turned up against Liverpool. They turned up against Arsenal in the FA Cup. And they turned up... ish today against Newcastle. Well, they turned up as in, like, they weren't dreadful. They turned up. I played out the most boring game in the world, but nonetheless, they got a result today.
Yeah.
When they play teams like Leicester, I just don't know how up for it they are. I don't know. Maybe I'm being really harsh, and maybe next week they'll be great.
Don't think you are.
But I'm looking at that Manchester United team, and I'm like, with the exception of Bruno, and if you've got Bruno, then hold for goodness sake. But if you're free hitting next week, then I'd have Bruno against Ipswich in that game.
Yeah.
But there's no one else I'd want to go with.
I think they'll get battered against Forest. Because Forest are everything that they're not. Like, Forest have got something to fight
for.
Yeah, but if
you're free hitting next week, you don't need to worry about that. So you'd have Bruno. No.
Yeah, admittedly. Yeah, admittedly. But the Forest game in game week 30. I think I'd back Forest for that easily. An easy win. What else to discuss, Sam? Let's talk about Forest then. Forest 1, Manchester City 0. Was this a case of Forest nicking it, or were they very, very good? I happen to think they were the latter. I thought they were excellent, Forest.
Forest are good, though,
aren't they? In everything that they do. Now, the goal was a little bit, I'd say, fortuitous. I think it was a big mistake from Edison, really. He shouldn't be getting beat there. It does take a tiny, tiny little deflection, and because of that, it kind of creeps in the near post. Maybe I'm being a bit kind to Edison there, because he definitely shouldn't be getting beat there. And actually, a few minutes before, he pulled off an absolutely brilliant save from the same player. I think it's Hudson-Odoi again. He pulled off a great save, down low to his left, onto the post. Really, really good save. But Forest do what Forest do. Very, very good. And the defence, again, like Milenkovic and Murillo and like Aina and Williams, all four of them, working units. So I thought Aina was absolutely brilliant, by the way.
I am so fed up of the Nottingham Forest defence being great and me not investing in it.
Well, get them then.
I might, Lee, because I don't need double Bournemouth defence, because I forgot I'd already done that. So, you know, maybe this is the way to go. Because one of the things I was pondering on doing for Game Week 29 was investing in Gvardiol, because I am not sold on Haaland at all for this coming up match.
No.
I'm really not sold. I was pondering on Marmoush, who then gets benched, and I'm like,
yep,
okay, well, I'm put off that now because I can't afford to take any risks because I'm carrying no bench through to game week 29. So I'm not keen to do that anymore. De Bruyne, Foden, all of those guys, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not prepared to sell Salah and I don't have any other issues in my midfield. So I don't need those players. So Gvardiol was who I was looking at. But then I'm just not impressed with them defensively. They always look like they're going to concede. And yes, Gvardiol could get an attacking return, absolutely. But then I look across at the Forest defence and I think for significantly less money, I can have Aina. I can have.
I don't think it's significantly less money anymore Aina, yeah, over Gvardiol.
But I can go from Aina down through the different stages of the Forest defence, depending on how much I want to spend. So you've got Aina, who's
like
the most
Nico,
expensive.
You know, I think if I was
I really like Nico, yeah, Williams. I mentioned him on the fantasy show on Friday and on the podcast, actually, last week, that I think he is my preferred. And I think my transfer this week, spoiler alert, is probably going to be Neco Williams in for Trent. I think that's probably what I'm going to do, depending upon what we see from Isak tomorrow evening.
Well, the Forest fixtures over the next couple are Ipswich and Manchester United. So I've already said how much I fancy them for that Man U game. And then away to Ipswich.
I'll be trebled up then on Nottingham Forest.
But yeah, I think it's worth doing.
Because I've already got Alanga and Wood. So that would then add the missing piece to my Nottingham Forest puzzle. A defender.
Like it a lot. And Gibbs White and Hudson-Odoi absolutely running the show. City, from that perspective, I think you gave a quick overview there, but is there anybody you'd consider for the next couple?
I still consider Gvardiol. I do. Because I think, you know, he's got that attacking threat. The numbers are there. Don't think you get any clean sheets. Particularly against Brighton. They've got Brighton. And I think everyone was talking about how, and Az and I had this conversation on the Q&A last week, like, everyone keeps talking about how Haaland is the best captaincy option for game week 29. And I just can't see that. I just can't see it. Because Brighton aren't exactly terrible at the moment. They're playing well. I don't see a clean sheet for Gvardiol or the defence. I don't see where I'm going to find the budget to get Haaland. And even if I could find the budget by selling Salah and bringing him back in again the week after, I just don't think that it's worth doing. So for me, Marmoush was the one I wanted to look at, but then he's benched.
Do you think with Marmoush, though, it was one of those where you know what you're going to get with Forest? They are incredibly good at that line, right? They're incredibly good at that. And they can sit in and then use the pace, use their weapons that they've got on attack. So I do wonder whether Pep looked at it and went, I'm not going to get a lot of space in behind. Not going to be a lot of use of that weapon by Marmoush, do you think?
Maybe. And maybe he does get him the start against against Brighton next week. It's very possible that he does. But then I just don't know. I feel like Man City are so Jekyll and Hyde at the moment. And
difficult to sort of break up your team to get Haaland cap, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're talking about over the next couple of weeks. You're taking a lot of budget out of a Palmer or a Salah, maybe, to get to a Haaland. You just
I think there are other better captaincy options, if I'm really honest.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit.
I think there are. And I think for a lot of managers, myself included, selling Cole Palmer next week would be taking out a player that's got a fixture, plays, yeah. Whereas I need to deal with the players that haven't.
Yeah, and the problem with taking out Palmer is that the current malaise is the current malaise, but what is that now? No goals since game week 21. It's absolutely mad for Palmer. It's a real, real dip in form. But
the opportunities have been there, though.
Well, my point was going to be, he's still massively owned, right? So if for whatever reason they do get a penalty and he scores and maybe gets an assist to go with it and gets a 10-pointer...
It's going
to
really hurt.
It's going to really hurt you because he's still going to be, what, 70, 80, maybe higher percentage owned.
And I think for us, non-free hitters, I can see free hit teams not having Palmer in them because they'll go for Harlan instead.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So actually, I think for us next week, Palmer returning... would, even against our double Arsenal defence, would probably be quite a nice differential. Yeah, probably be the best return we'll get out of him this year.
Okay. All right, Liverpool 3, Southampton 1. The Reds go marching
on. What is that clean sheet going for? It's infuriating. What kind of ridiculous defending was it? It was Spurs-esque.
It wasn't good. Yeah, it wasn't good. We'll forgive him because he's the best in the world and he was unbelievable against FSG. PSG.
Who's FSG? But
Van Dijk and Alisson definitely got in each other's way for that one. The communication broke down. It was a poor goal to concede. And I don't know what he said to them at half-time, but I reckon they probably did get a bit of a rocket, to be fair.
Because
it was one of them, and I've sat here before on Sundays and talked about the fact that Liverpool get very complacent this season. If they go a couple of goals up, we easily lose a goal. The Spurs game was case in point, if you remember that one, right? And there's been other games where we've sleepwalked, we've been sleepwalking into, you know, poor results or goals conceded. Mm. And we did that here. The whole of the first half, we were just like, well, you know, it's Southampton at home. Someone will score and we'll win this game. But don't work like that in the Premier League. And I think they got a bit of a rocket at half-time. And Darwin in particular, who I've seen a bit of narrative about, he was a bit lucky boy to stay on the pitch at the end of that first half. Maybe. Because it's a really petulant kick out. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Smallbone, but it was a real petulant kick out and he gets a yellow. On another day, that
and they
might
check
look
it.
On another day, that could look a bit worse. But I said I had some praise for him at the beginning of the podcast, and I will give him some praise because he
press
did come out
everyone. Press record.
With the bit between his teeth. And now he's actually gone and put in a reasonable cameo performance against PSG in the week where he comes on and gets the assist for good Harvey's enough. Goal. Yeah. And he's followed that up now with a goal and assist here. I'm not about to suggest that Darwin's back, but what I am going to suggest is...
Back?
What?
Or just exists.
No. What I'm going to suggest is, again, Slot is doing a really good job of just managing that squad. And when players like Darwin, who don't play a big part in the season, come on and are asked to do a job for the team, he's getting a tune out of him. And he was great, Darwin. He was great. Really, really good. Took his goal well because he's in the right place to take it. Perfect goal for him. Didn't have to think about it. Just come to him and he just puts it in. Perfect, right? No intelligence required for that, Darwin. And Diaz just puts it on a plate for him. So, yeah, I was happy with the performance. Mo is just Mo, right? It's just inevitable. So good. And Southampton are continue to be a team that you should target. What are you going to do with your Liverpool assets, though? Because, as we know, Liverpool now blanking next week in 29 because of the Carabao Cup final. Mm-hmm. Merseyside derby in 30 against Everton where, you know, anything can happen, as we saw at Goodison. Liverpool assets, you've got Trent, you've got Mo. I assume you're going to sell Trent but keep Mo. Is that what you're thinking?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. And then on wildcard, I'll make a decision about whether I reinvest back into Liverpool or not. I'm going to say something that might upset you a little bit, but I don't mean it in that way. I haven't enjoyed owning Trent. And I know that he's the most expensive defender in the game, he's all these things, and he's great. He's a great player and I love watching him, but I really don't like owning him in FPL because you do have these moments like against Southampton where you just concede the odd sloppy goal.
Yeah.
And when you're paying 7.4 million for a defender, I don't want the odd sloppy goal conceded. I want to clear, particularly against Southampton.
Absolutely.
I want 6 points out of you, and the fact I'm not getting that because of a mistake, bit of a miscommunication by the best goalkeeper and probably one of the best defenders in the world right now is just unlucky, but it does put me off investing in that Liverpool defence. And I think I don't know that if I'll go back there. I think what happens in the second leg of the PSG game will be quite telling in terms of how I invest in Liverpool for the second half or for the run-in, because obviously the League Cup final is going to be done by the time we come out of game week 29. And then as long as you beat PSG, or at least draw with PSG, you're going to then progress in the Champions League. But if you go out of the Champions League, once the league is done, which is going to be at some stage in the next couple of weeks, in my view, because I don't see Arsenal picking up that many points, how much do we go for some rotation and all of that stuff? So for me...
And the other thing to say is that by the time we next kick a Premier League football, which is next month against Everton, I don't know the time frame for Bradley being back, but I think it's roughly in line with that.
But that's what I mean, yeah.
So you've got to consider that as well. The other thing with Trent, and the reason I sold him a couple of weeks ago, was that not only is you're absolutely right, we do sleepwalk into the odd goal or two, and that, you know, that wipes out the clean sheet, but he's not taking a lot of the corners anymore, no. Right? And what the great thing about Trent was always that if we do keep the clean sheet, the fact he takes all the, or fact he took all the corners, meant that he was getting that kind of chance creation and crossing statistic up, which meant, again, that feeds the underlying BPS. And you'd often get, wouldn't you? You'd often get Trent with the kind of, not a six, it'd be a seven or an eight sometimes, right?
Yep.
But we're not seeing that quite so much. I know last week he did get, I think, a bonus point or two, but we're not seeing it as much. So I agree with you. I'm not sure I'll be going there either on the game week 31 wildcard. I don't know yet, but probably not.
And that's what makes me think that I want to, like, that he's going to be the one I sell. I've got 0.1 in him. My suspicion is that by the time I get through game week 28 anyway, that 0.1 would have disappeared again, because I think a lot of people will sell, and he'll decrease in value as a result of that. So I'm happy to sell Trent. I will consider reinvesting on wildcard, but only after the point where we know what's going on in the Champions League. If you're out of the Champions League, then I might consider it more.
Sure.
But if you're still in the Champions League, which I expect you will be, okay, then I think I'll probably go through the rest of the season just with Mo.
All right, very good. What about a couple more of these games, Sam, before we move on? Brentford 0, Aston Villa 1. And the reason I want to talk about Brentford is because you bought in Brian Mbeumo this week. And many FPL managers will have Vissa as well. Surprised by this result, or was it just a good performance by Villa? Because they could have had more, right? Rodgers was, I think, a bit unlucky to have one ruled out for offside. But I don't know if Brentford really... Did they really threaten in this game? I don't know if it was... I thought Villa were reasonably comfortable.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because we'd spent days and days talking on various different things on the pod, on the show. I think you talked about it when you did your BBC show as well last week. We talked about it definitely on Sky when we went on Sunday about, or Saturday, about the appalling record that Villa have post-Europe. And yet, so I was really surprised to see less attacking threat from Brentford than we did, particularly when Brentford were the home team. And generally speaking, at home, Brentford are excellent when it comes to scoring goals. Yeah, they score a lot of goals at home.
This home record for Brentford, though, I've looked into it. It's a bit of a myth, though, isn't it? It's a bit of a myth.
They score a lot of goals at home.
Yeah, they do. In recent weeks, they started off with such a good home record because they played nobody at home. They played all the lesser teams. They started playing the better teams, and all of a sudden, they didn't have quite the record that they had.
But I think against a Villa side, they've been so poor on the road. I mean, they'd won one in their last eight on the road and none unexpected after the Champions League. So I think this definitely, for me, was a bit unexpected. But no panic on Mbeumo. Like, I think going into the next few weeks, he'll still be a nice own. Will I hold him on wildcard in 31?
They got some very difficult
probably
fixtures.
Not.
Difficult
Probably
fixtures,
not.
Even in the next two, Bournemouth and Newcastle away. Very difficult. And then in 31, potential wildcard territory, Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton at home, but then Forest away as well. It's tricky to see a wildcard in 31 where you've got an Mbeumo, obviously.
No, and probably not. It is the reality. I'm happy to have him for the Bournemouth game. I'm happy to have him for Newcastle as well, which is why I made the decision to bring him in, because I looked at the fixtures.
Well, you've got to keep him.
And I was like, well, look, when I was looking for a midfielder option, it was either Bournemouth, and I did think about a Cliver or a Semenyo, or it was Brighton, and I much preferred the fixture this week for Brighton. So I went there.
Okay.
But it's going to be a short-lived love affair, this. It's going to be the next couple of weeks and then gone.
And as George quite rightly says, in caps, got denied a Stonewall pen. I thought it was. There was a couple, wasn't there? Di Zarzi, who, by the way, was, I thought Di Zarzi was brilliant. Yeah. It's so good. But one was and one wasn't. I think George, you'll know which one was and which one wasn't. But there's one where he comes through him, and okay, he slips, but it's still a foul. It's still a foul. So I think that's a penalty. And if he does give that as a penalty to the ref, VAR's not overturning it because they're going with the on-field decision, I think. Maybe Brian steps up and he scores that, and we're not here talking about taking Mbeumo out, right? But it's a different story. But still, yeah, good result for Villa, but obviously we're not investing because of the blank. Anything else you want to discuss, Sam, from here before we crack on with our teams?
No, let's move on to our teams.
Let's move on to our teams then. We need to talk about Cucurella.
No, we don't need to talk about Cucurella.
Can we talk about Cucurella?
But why? There's nothing to say. Nobody's going to buy a Cucurella ahead of the game against Arsenal. They're just not, Lee.
Palmer penalty miss and a Cucurella 15-pointer. Okay, that's
all right. We can talk about
this game.
We can talk about Palmer, yes, but nobody needs to talk about Cucurella. You're the only person in the whole world who owns him.
No, 4% owned, Sam. Come on. You were saying at the top of the pod, I'm actually hurt.
The other 4%
hurt your rank.
It doesn't hurt my rank. He hurts me because I have to listen to you crowing on about him all the blinking time.
Dan, the man next in the chat, says, can we sing the Cucurella song?
Please.
I don't know what the Cucurella song is, Dan, but you sing away,
no,
mate.
No, Dan, please. Because in the minute, I'll have a framed picture of him beside my bed, like, because he's changed Lee's season.
Back-to-back 15-pointers after the week I bought him in. Just incredible, Sideshow Bob. Thank you so much. Absolutely brilliant.
It's outrageous.
But only 1-0. Palmer missed the pen. What else is there to say? We ain't selling them because they've got a game. Albeit against Arsenal.
So, yeah, but I blame Az.
For what? Captain Palmer?
Yeah. So that's why he missed the pen, because Az had captained him. Do you know why Chris Wood banked?
Because Az bought him in.
Because Az bought him in.
All right. Let's move on to our teams then, Sam. Let's talk about... well, let's do you first. Then we'll talk about me and then my thoughts for game week 29. So your team for this week, a net score of 43 with two to play, Isak and Bowen. Apart from Mo and a jammy assist for Timber, not looking too great. Talk us through it.
Well, I mean, it's literally the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
It's been a shocker.
Yeah. Bowen might pull you out of the mire. Who knows?
Bowen and Isak.
Well, Isak, everyone's got Isak.
Well, people have been selling Isak, haven't they? Because his issues that he's got.
He's not going to make a difference. Bowen will.
Yeah. I don't really have anything to say about it because, to be honest, it's been... Just a dreadful week. It's just been one of those where the Robinson clean sheet goes, I was annoyed about that. I obviously played my double Arsenal defence. Bruno did Bruno things. Van Dijk and Alisson decided that Trent couldn't have a clean sheet, so that one went as well. That was annoying. Palmer missed a penalty. Salah was a hero. Mbeumo dance to a different tune to what I did. Bowen is going to be a legend tomorrow.
Beto in as one of your transfers this week. Talk us through that one.
I mean, I needed a cheap. So I needed to go cheap in order to free up some money because I wanted to make sure that I had enough money for a decent midfielder option. Beto felt like the best cheap option given the fixture.
Bit unlucky, Beto owners this week. Second for XG underachievers. Second only to Palmer, of course, missed the penalty.
Yeah.
Beto with a delta of 0.71 on his XG. So, yeah, a bit unlucky, Beto.
And it was unlucky. And I felt unlucky watching the game, to be honest, last night. I was like, I can't see how you haven't got something here. But alas, it wasn't to be. And then Chris Wood, broken by Az. So that's a summary of my week.
The less said about it, the better.
Yeah,
43 points.
It was poor.
A total points of 1849, down to 462k.
Oh, it's doubled my rank, pretty much.
which is a minus 38% red arrow. That is a bad game week. You need a Bowen hat-trick to save us. A Bowen hat-trick.
Here we go. Let's have some Cucurella crowing. Get comfy, everyone. Be ready.
This is the team, 62. It's a green arrow. It's only a small green with a 7.6% increase for me with Bowen and Isak still to play. So I'm hoping... I don't think there's anybody outside of that can hurt me because Gordon's not available. Hall's obviously out. So
nobody
I'm thinking,
else is that heavily
There's
owned,
nothing
yeah.
else, really. So with Isak there covering the potential, you know, his ownership, I'm just looking for a bit of upside, hopefully, from Bowen. So I'm hoping that green is going to stay green. Total points of 1864, 62 for the week, up to 339k. It was equally bad as you, Sam. Equally bad as you, except I had Cucurella. That's the difference.
I hate Cucurella.
The difference. You don't hate Cucurella. You hate me and you hate seeing my team do well.
I don't hate you.
That,
I'm married to you.
Why else would you hate Cucurella?
Because he bought you points. I don't want...
Why don't you like seeing me do
clear.
Well? I don't understand
it's
this.
Not that I hate you. That would be ridiculous.
Why don't you like me seeing me do well in FPL?
Because I want to beat you.
Why wouldn't you see Kukurea get the 15 points and go, well, well done.
Well, there's multiple reasons.
Well done, 30 points in two weeks. What an inspired bit of transfer business.
One, because you just sat here and admitted that you did it just because you needed some money. And I'm pretty sure you did it just because Neil put him in the scout picks last week. And two...
That was definitely played a part, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, I know. Neil. Hate you too, Neil. And secondly, you told me about this to the point where I missed the Spurs goal because I was listening to you crow on about Correa.
Wow.
And three, it's now put you back above me in FPL.
But when Sarr picked that ball up and I was looking at it, I just thought, that's a really good cross. It just happened to go in.
Oh, I really dislike you sometimes.
So, yeah, my team, Raya and Gabriel, which would have been very nice for Bruno not to score that free kick, but it is. Munoz in with the six, so he contributed. That's nice. Obviously, Mo's there. Palmer and Bremo and Wanieri combining for a combined four, which was absolutely tragic.
Four?
Well, yeah, 2-1-1.
Oh,
Wood picking up the two-pointer, but then Kukurea in with the 15-pointer, just saving the game week from absolutely nowhere.
Absolute joke.
And hoping that Bowen can get something tomorrow night. So, yeah.
Is it possible that Bowen can return for me and not you?
I don't think that's how FPL works, Sam. I mean, I know you're forgetting who's in your actual team tonight, but... I don't think you can get that in FPL either.
That's a shame.
How did Housen get on for you this week?
I benched him.
Good decision. Right, let's talk about game week 29.
Which probably would have bought more points than some of the others. I should have played him instead of Palmer.
Blank game week 29. Let's discuss our thoughts. I put together a couple of slides here. So this is my team, currently my bus team for game week 29. As you can see...
How many you got not playing for the podcasters?
I've got five not playing. So this is my team as it currently stands. So Raya and Gabriel at the back, double Arsenal defence versus Chelsea, but I've also got Palmer. Then I've got Kukurea at the back also, but I've got Wanieri in midfield. So that game is like
three Arsenal, two Chelsea.
It's not great, is it? It's not great.
It's not great planning.
I've then got Robinson at home to Spurs, fine. He can stay there. Bowen away to Everton, fine. And Bremo away to Bournemouth. I don't like it because I think Bournemouth will win that game, but it's fine. It's in Bremo. And any given day, he can do the business. And then Chris Wood away at Ipswich. So the gaps I've got is I've got Isak, Gakpo, Salah, Munoz and Hall all blanking currently. And I've got two free transfers to fix it.
Okay.
So I can get an 11 out and I can bench three. So I can do that. Mm-hmm. But as you guys can see on the YouTube, here are the teams that I think I'm going to be targeting for game week 29. And the reason I've highlighted 29 and 30 is simply, again, selfishly, because I'm thinking of wildcarding in game week 31. So I'm just looking at 29 and 30. What do I need? I just need some players to come in for my gaps and do the business.
Okay.
So the teams for the podcasters, the teams that I've targeted and cut and paste here onto the YouTube side is Wolves, who have got Southampton and West Ham. Bournemouth, who have got Brentford and Ipswich. City, who have got Brighton and Leicester. Arsenal, got Chelsea, Fulham. Forest have got Ipswich, Man U. And Brighton have got Man City and Aston Villa. So I think my gaps are going to be plugged by players from those teams. What do you think?
Well, when I suggested Strand Larson last week, you laughed and said, Wolves are nothing without Cunha. What are you thinking?
Mm.
So what has changed? Because Cunha's still not going to be available.
Doesn't mean that I'm targeting a Wolves forward.
No, but you said generally Wolves aren't great.
No, not at the moment. That's true.
So,
but Ryan Aitnori is somebody that's on my shortlist right now.
Oh, wow. We're going back there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm definitely not looking at Strand Larson. Are you still looking at Strand Larson?
No, I don't need a forward.
No, okay. Well, Ryan Aitnouri is one that's on my shortlist. So those are the teams I think I'm going to pick my shortlist from.
The problem I have with all of this is that the teams that are there, I agree with you in terms of fixtures, but Wolves have no form. Man City don't really have a lot of form either.
Yeah.
So of the teams that you've got there, Nottingham Forest, tick. Massive, massive tick. Like, I think they are the team to be trebled up on for the next couple of weeks. So I fully agree with that one. Forest, yes.
Yeah.
Brighton, I like. I like Brighton as well. I think investing in Brighton makes a lot of sense. I have some issues with Brighton defensively. And I think you'd be having to look at a forward or a midfielder. So again, it depends if you need one of them. Now, you do need one of them because you've got Gakpo.
Who would you suggest?
Well, that is the very big question, isn't it, when you're going to talk about Brighton? Because
not Shao Pedro. I can't go back there.
We'd have to go Danny Welbeck then.
God, Shao Pedro. That was the most Shao Pedro goal ever at the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, just...
He knew he was going to be fouled. And he was like, I can't wait to get this penalty. And stood up and took it. Actually got a bit lucky, I thought, with a penalty.
Hmm. You could go Danny Welbeck.
I'm not going to go Danny Welbeck, am I? So don't...
Where are you going to get a forward from?
Right. So let's go into the next level of detail. So those are the teams that I'm in my head. Like I say, that's not me saying, I've put Wolves in there because I'm getting Strand Larsen. That's me saying these are the teams that are in mind for potentially filling my gaps, right? Okay. So I pulled up a little bit of a short list, and the actual list is probably longer than this. But the two that I'm likely to transfer out, it won't come as a shock to any of you, right? So Gakpo and Hall have got to go, I think. And then my bench becomes Salah, Isak and Munoz. All three of them have a decent fixture that I would want them for in game week 30. And in Isak and Salah's case, those are the ones where I've got capital tied up. I've got value tied up.
Okay.
So I can use my two free transfers to get to 11 by getting rid of Hall and Gakpo. So I'm therefore looking mostly at, and I know this is all very self-indulgent, right? And your teams out there will all be very different. So I'm therefore looking at a defender and a forward. And I have to say right now, I'm thinking of just going Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth are the answer to my problems. If I got Kirkes and Evan Nielsen in for two free transfers for Gakpo and Hall, I think that's fine.
You think that that's better than the Forest boys?
Well, make the case for the Forest boys then.
Because I personally think that with the fixtures that Forest have, particularly Ipswich,
yeah,
that going for an Aina or a Milenkovic or a Neco Williams, depending upon which price point you want to go in at,
Ipswich and Man U,
is the best defence to invest in.
Right.
The other reason I think that is because I believe...
Do you think Kirkes has got a bit more about him going forward than any of the Forest boys, no?
I also think Kirkes is less likely to keep a clean sheet than those. So it's risk-reward. I also think that Nottingham Forest defence is highly owned. So going into game week 29, you have to think about what is everyone else going to be doing? Sales is highly popular. The Nottingham Forest defence generally are highly popular. And if you are free hitting, you are surely travelling up on Forest for the game against Ipswich. So if you're like most managers, I think, that are playing the game properly, will have a Forest defender, which is why that's going to be my transfer. Mm. Because I need to make sure that as far as I can be, I am not going to get killed by something. And I feel like the thing that would hurt me the most in game week 29 would be a Nottingham Forest clean sheet.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I hadn't thought about the ownership. When you put all the Forest defensive assets together.
Yeah, because if we look at them,
they are well covered and people will be playing in this these weeks. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. So if we look at Nottingham Forest, sort by goalkeepers and defenders, please.
Maybe I've got a bit of recency bias there because of what I've seen from Bournemouth today, right? And Kirkes and the assist and everything else.
Aina, 27.9% owned. Sells, 17.7% owned. Milenkovic, 8.2%. Now, obviously, Williams is significantly less. He's only 2.4%. But even you throw in there...
He's settled in that team now, though. Don't worry about him. He's done 7 or 8 games back-to-back now. He'll be all right.
Murillo... 3.4. So, and let's just assume that all of those managers only own one Forest defender.
Mm.
You're talking about, what's that? 20, 47%, 49, 50. You're talking about 70% ownership across the defence.
Yeah, if there's 12 points across 2 games.
I've gone too far. It's 60%.
But whatever it is, it's high ownership.
It's high ownership when you consider across that bracket. So, and for me, that's what I'm looking at. Like game week 27.
It feels like a defensive move though, whereas Kirkes feels a bit more of an attacking move if you're chasing rank now.
Yeah, I mean, we can have the same conversation with Bournemouth. So if we look at Bournemouth.
It surely won't be anywhere near as highly owned, no?
Well, no, because Kirkes is owned by 15.8%. So he's obviously the most owned.
And people forget they've got Housen in their team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Even the really best managers, 4.6% he is, plus Kepa's in at 3%. So we are talking much lower ownership there. So in terms of risk, far less risk going in without a Bournemouth defender. Although who would do that? Because, you know, everyone's got one on their bench already, surely. Ready.
It's
risk-reward.
I hadn't thought of that. It does feel a bit of a defensive play to get a Forest defender, but in a game week where there will be a lot of free hits knocking about as well in game week 29, maybe...
In a free
maybe
hit team,
being defensive is the right thing to do.
In a free hit team, let's think about what people are going to do. If I was free hitting in game week 29, I would not have Cole Palmer. That's already a big risk, right? So for us, having him actually stay there could be, if he does something, okay. Nottingham Forest, defence in particular, are heavily owned. Plus the free hitters, I think if you're free hitting, you get 3 Forest for Ipswich.
How would you feel about, and again, I know this is all, everyone's team is different, but I'm just using my team as an example. How would you feel about me doing Gakpo and Hall to the 2 Bournemouth boys, but also taking a hit to do Munoz to a Forest player?
So I took a hit this week.
I don't like that now I've said that out loud.
I took a hit this week, and the reason I took the hit is because I'd set up my team so that going into this week, I would have 4 blanking... I'd have 4 blanking players. I'd make 1 transfer this week, and then that would be fine.
Mm.
But then last week, I had a nightmare because Mateta and Kulusevski both got red flagged. And so I was very conscious that going into game week 28, I didn't need to take a hit. I could just make 1 transfer. And as it happens, that would have been the right thing. And the right thing, it seems at the moment, would have been to take the hit this week instead. But I felt it was better to try and play the fixtures for both the 2 weeks and therefore take the hit out of both weeks rather than just out of one.
Yeah.
And I don't hate it because I actually think that a lot of managers will take a hit next week.
Yeah.
I think it will be a popular week.
But there was something in my mind that said that Munoz 30 is like an unbelievable fixture. What is it?
I wouldn't take Munoz out because you will want him back for next week.
Yeah, Palace. Oh, Southampton. Yeah. You're not doing
so, that. And the other reason for me doing... So my plan move is to go from, as I mentioned before, Trent to one of the Nottingham Forest defenders. I haven't decided which one yet. I'll inevitably get the wrong one, but that's fine. I'm going to get one of them. But doing that gives me the money that next week, as my free transfer going into game week 30, I can finally get Munoz because I'll have the money to go from Seth Vandenberg up to Munoz.
And do you think just getting an 11 out is okay for 29? Do you think having 3 bench players like Salah, Isak, Munoz and holding the value there, knowing that you want them for 30, that's okay? You're comfortable with just getting an 11 out there?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
I don't know. I think it depends on your 11. Like, I'm not convinced about Wanyeri, you know, in his minutes and stuff, right?
No,
And then also, I go, you know, look at my team and I go, well, I've got all them Arsenal and Chelsea players playing each other. Now, I could look at that 2 ways. I could go, well, I'm kind of hedging my bets a little bit. So whichever way that game goes, I'm hoping for some points, aren't I? I could be really unlucky and it could be like, you know, 1-1 in Nkunku and Odegaard and then I'm struggling. But
I think when you think back to last season, I think this has been on my mind all season with the free hit chip. And I say it a lot, is that last season's free hit when we played it in that blank. Now, okay, it was different because we only had 4 fixtures and the blank was horrendous. And I am still a little bit traumatised by the fact that we highly ever played the free hit to get through that week. A lot of managers didn't play the free hit. They held the free hit, played through with 7 players and ended up with more points than the ones that targeted in on the fixtures and played it. Now, this time around, I look at this and I think, all right, well, in reality, I think the number of free hits will be quite low.
For 29.
I haven't looked yet, but I suspect it will be a relatively low free hit.
I think there'll be a lot of casuals play it. There'll be a lot of people that look at their team and go, oh, I haven't got anybody playing this week. Free hit.
Yeah, that could very well be the case. But I also look at the way that the rest of this season is panning out. And I think I said this to our patrons on Ohana last week. I am seriously now thinking that I'm not going to need the free hit for game week 34. The way that the FA Cup is panning out and the way that I think my wild card is going to look in game week 31 means that I can see me not needing to play it because I'll be able to get a full team out anyway for that one, which will mean I'll be able to use the free hit in a double game week or in the final game week of the season and really maximise that chip rather than using it in a blank to chase points when I can field an 11. Now, okay, the 11, one of them might only get one or two points, but I think that the value of the free hit chip is worth more in my pocket for a later day than it is when I can get 11 out anyway this week.
Yeah. I think getting 11 out is okay, you know. I think it really is. And it's all going to be team dependent. But when I was putting this shortlist together in preparation for tonight, I put a couple of Man City players in there. I don't think I'm going to go there, you know. I just can't see me doing it with Man City. Not least, yes, it's a price thing, but I just think like right now, Bournemouth are a better team than City. And they have better fixtures. And so are Forest. So why would I not do that?
Why would I
go for an Evan Nilsson, or if I haven't got Chris Wood, why would I not get an Evan Nilsson or a Wood and get Haaland instead?
I just think,
feel like even if Haaland was the same price, I think I'd go for the other two.
Yeah. I mean, I think the conversation would have been a little bit different had Marmoush started and scored in game week 28.
Yeah.
I think had Marmoush started the game and got something, we probably would have gone there.
We're all looking at Marmoush, weren't we, to go, we really want you next week.
Yeah,
you know, give us a performance this weekend, and it just didn't happen because of the benching.
And I think that's the problem, isn't it? Is that now you're going to be looking at that going, okay, is it a risk too far? Because the reality is, if you are playing through with a bench that's got Salah and Isak and Munoz, or Salah and Isak and whoever sitting on it, you are unlikely to have the luxury of having somebody to come off the bench if Marmoush doesn't start.
Yeah, true.
And so for me, I look at Man City, I look at the performances. I know that they're out of the Champions League, so they don't have that same problem that maybe we're going to see from what we might have seen from Liverpool, but obviously League Cup final, but maybe we see from other teams. We don't have that potential rotation there. But maybe I'm wrong, but I look at my team. The only way I've got to get Haaland is either to sell Salah. Now, I, just to be absolutely clear, I have got, let's just look at my team. So Salah is currently priced at 13.8. He's, to me and my team, worth 13.2. So 0.6.
You can't take a 0.6 on him.
I cannot take a 0.6. Now, especially if you've not played your assistant manager chip, because you're going to need that 0.6. Yeah. At the back end of the season, or whenever you play your assistant manager chip, you can't afford, in my view, to lose 0.6 on Salah, because most people aren't going to be selling him, and therefore he's unlikely to take, maybe he takes one, but he's not likely to take two or three price drops this week. So for me, Salah's just, he's a non-negotiable, and therefore the only route that I would have to Salah, that's not Salah, to get Haaland would be to sell Palmer and upgrade Isak. But then I'm taking a -4 to do it. I'm taking out a player that I know I want back for 32 because he's got a double.
Makes no sense.
I'd want to try and play through 34 where Isak's still important because they play in 34. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No. Okay. All right. Well, listen, lots to ponder over the course of the next week or so, no doubt about it. And of course, we still have West Ham versus Newcastle coming up tomorrow. We're hoping for something from Jared. But hopefully, guys, that little last segment there gives you a bit of a feel for how certainly I'm thinking, or how we're thinking.
I think we're aligned.
I think I can get 11 out. I was thinking Gakpo and Hall straight to Bournemouth players, but I do hear you. I hear you.
The fact
that Forest's defence is so highly owned, maybe being a bit, playing it a bit safer and not getting a Kirkes and going with an Aina or a Williams instead is maybe the right thing to do. I do hear you.
The best thing for you next week is 0-0 Chelsea and Arsenal, isn't it?
Yeah, three clean sheets. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everyone's got Palmer, so I'm not interested.
But you get a clean sheet point out of him as well. Clean sheet point out of Wanyeri.
Yeah, Wanyeri can get the blank and the three. I mean, 0-0 would be wonderful. Yeah, I'd take it. But I'm sure it won't end up like that. I'm sure it won't. Sam, tell everybody what is coming up this week.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because we made a joke with each other, didn't we, about how we didn't do a live stream last weekend because obviously it was the FA Cup and we had the busiest week of our lives with the Spurs.
It was very
stuff.
Busy. Yeah, yeah.
You did some stuff with the BBC last week.
I
did the fantasy show, I had the pod. So this week it is actually a little bit quieter, although not.
Is it actually?
Well, No, probably not. Not really. So I have got both off the bench and the official podcast this week. So I'll be doing both of those.
Who are you off the bench with?
Well, it's supposed to be Andy, but it might be problematic. So,
oh, blimey, oh no. Yeah. Okay.
So it should be
is
me.
Is he all right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's just got just work, work issues. So
I hope it is. I like it.
I love podding with Sinaldo. He's just such a lovely bloke. And also, he's one of those nice people that even when you've had a terrible game week, like, makes you feel better. Like, you pod with Andy, he's not, like, if I podded with you, I mean, you've already, like, wound me up about my team this whole stream. If I got on with Az, he'd just do, although, actually, he's had such a shocker, maybe I should try and go on with Az. Because he wouldn't wind me up.
If I were Az, I wouldn't want to be talking about my team at all this week.
No. I'll wait till he goes Q&A with me this week, though. We'll have to talk
about it.
Sinaldo
will be happy because old Sonny scored, right? So
he will be happy about that. So off the bench on Tuesday this week, after Jarrod Bowen's double hat-trick that he's getting tomorrow night. And then the official podcast, we're actually going a day early this week because Jules and Kelly are doing something together without me on Thursday, which is, bit rude. Don't know why I wasn't invited. they're doing something elsewhere related, so we're doing that on a Wednesday morning. I think that's it.
All right, very good. Well, listen, well done, everybody, in game week 28. Good luck all the Bowen owners for tomorrow. Come on, Jarrod. We need some points. And you, Alex Isak, but, everyone's got you, so I'm not too worried about you. Bowen is the one we're all looking for. So good luck in Newcastle West Ham for tomorrow. Well done in game week 28. We'll see you this time next week when we'll discuss what's gone on for the weekend of game week 29. I'm hoping that,
Well, it's just it's the League Cup final.
Well, whether we win or we lose, I will still be here.
How drunk will you be if you've won?
It's a League Cup, Sam. I might have a Pepsi Max to celebrate. That's it. This trophy would be... I would love to win the League Cup, but this is not a Spurs situation.
To be clear...
This is not going out on the piss, loads of champagne if we win the League Cup.
Oh, if we won the League Cup, I'd be here on the champers. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well...
There'd be chocolate, there'd be champagne... I'd be an absolute nightmare.
I mean, the real question is, are you going to be here next week?
What do you mean?
Well, after Thursday, your season might be done. That's it, my goodness. Good night, everyone. Like, subscribe, all that rubbish. See you next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everyone.